Midweek Motorsport, your weekly window on the world of racing. Formula One, sports cars, American racing, world rally, touring cars, karting, off-road and bikes. If it has wheels and they keep score, it's on Midweek Motorsport, every Wednesday evening from 8 p.m.
Hello everybody and welcome to Gardener's Question Time. On the panel tonight, Alan Titchmarsh will be talking about dahlias. Special guest star Nick Damon will be talking about his tomatoes.
I was going to talk about my large clematis, but apparently I can get cream for it.
Okay. And Declan Brennan has all the latest news in bringing anything that might be frostbitten inside. Nope, that's
yes,
nonsense.
Yes, and I'll be arranging a lovely bouquet of chlamydias.
It's April the 1st. We're all in high spirits. It is Midweek Motorsport. I'm John Hindhoff in the Gulf Room with Nick Damon. And in fact, we are family. We are en famille here.
We are indeed.
We have the dog and the two children at Hindhoff Towers.
What about the cat?
John.
No cats.
John,
no cats here, of course.
John.
Come on. I'm sorry. No cats here, of course.
Special April Fool's hats off have to go to Sam Collins, because they literally, at precisely the stroke of April Fool's Day, released the news of the W12 VW IndyCar engine with pictures and everything. So good on them.
BMW in the UK have done an absolute cracker. All of the quality newspapers that I've seen have had half-page adverts with magnetic drive systems, where you just get in behind someone, flick a switch, and then you can just cruise up behind and let the magnets. And they suggest that at the end of it, you flash your lights before you pull out and pass them. Just normal fare there for BMW drivers.
No indicating, obviously.
No indicating, no.
I think the best April Fool's joke I saw this morning was Newcastle United appointing Alan Shearer as manager.
That clearly came out of Sunderland, did it not?
I've no idea where it came from.
That's phenomenal stuff. And long may he reign there and take them all the way down beyond...
I do think that paddocktalk.net was far too subtle in its April Fool's gag in announcing that Danica Patrick had got the US GPE drive.
No, that's true.
Wasn't the US GPE a whole April Fool's joke that just came out a month early? On tonight's show, all the usual features... Oh, sorry, that's a bit loud, isn't it?
That's very loud. Turn yourself down.
I've just realised that. Thank you. On tonight's show, all the usual features and more, although we will try to stay in within 2 hours.
I was right.
About what?
But you and I, Nick, were right. When Nick saying John saying no, Jensen Button's no good. Jensen Button's useless. No, they won't win anything. They're rubbish.
Who had Jensen Button in his fantasy F1 team, though?
Me.
And me.
I had Vettel.
It'll be taken from him, don't worry.
No, it won't.
And by the way, yet another huge amount of cash going from Lewis Hamilton to a Toyota driver. Just unbelievable, isn't it? Let's move on. All the usual features plus more. We've got the IndyCar preview tonight, have we not,
it's
Tim?
It's our IndyCar preview show this week. Good evening, I'm Tim Gray in London.
Sorry, mate, yes, didn't interview you.
Haven't introduced anyone yet.
Everybody knows who they are. Declan Brennan is the one with the chip on his shoulder who you just heard. Nick Damon is the slightly effete camp person
with
who's just giggled there.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do I have a chip on my shoulder?
Point proved there. Thanks very much.
You walked into that one, Dex.
Fantastic. What do I have a chip on my shoulder about? Unless it's everything.
Everything.
Be fair
it
enough.
Is everything, mate.
Oh, that is everything.
Oh,
that's fair enough.
It starts with a potato famine and goes on.
You can't say that on the radio.
Against the wall when the revolution comes, Damon.
Well, the revolution failed in London today, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Yes, I have fought our way out of a packed central London to be here at the Gulf Room tonight. Except
it was absolutely empty.
I was going to say it was completely empty, and we were doing our bit for the climate change by using. How did you get curry on your shoulder, love? By using far less fossil fuels than we would have because we were using our Audi diesel, of course.
Ooh, it's Eddie Curry on our shoulder. I could dip me chip in it.
Eve has chips on both shoulders. She's perfectly balanced, of course.
Jeremy Shaw.
We've so much to talk about. Can we get on with it, please? This is the longest intro ever.
Jeremy Shaw, Marshall Pruitt, and like, some drivers will be talking about IndyCar.
And tomorrow at 8 o'clock, it's our Le Mans Series preview. Only Nick of us all will be there at Barcelona
there,
at the weekend.
Oh, in terms of in Barcelona, yes. You'll be there for the preview show, John.
I'll be there for the preview show, but only if you'd listened, I said only Nick will be there in Barcelona for the weekend.
Yeah.
Right, have we got some news?
Every week, we bring you all the motorsport news.
Midweek Motorsport.
Midweek Motorsport. At RadioLeMans.com.
Tim has his papers, and well, I know where I would start, but Tim, you have never been one to follow convention, so Formula One or not?
Formula Lun is...
Formula Lun, yes, as the BBC has called it.
Formula Wilf Lun.
Only the decks, the reason we've said that is only the first link on BBC television on Formula One for 12 years, and their lead commentator couldn't get the words Formula and One out of his mouth correctly.
Oh dear.
Enough of that, though.
More of that later. Tim.
We're going to start with some news from the British Touring Car Championship, which is one of the championships which starts this weekend, which we don't have a special preview of this week.
And there's a reason for that.
The reason why we don't have a preview, or there's a reason why we're starting with it, or there's a reason why its first race is this weekend?
There's a reason why we don't have a preview for it.
We don't have time.
A, that we didn't have time, and B, it's only got one manufacturer team in, and it's pretty pointless.
Doesn't matter, it's not a manufacturer championship. It's all about the drivers.
Oh, really? Is that what Vauxhall are saying, to justify the huge amount of money that they're still spending?
Well, obviously they're eligible for the Constructors' Championship, aren't they?
Ah, right.
Which also includes the
other people
who construct their own cars, such as
I presume
Honda.
The Constructors' Championship this year to fill out the grids includes Wimpy and Barrett Holmes.
Well, they're not building any houses, are they?
No, exactly. And actually, if you've seen the shape of a Vectra, it does look like a two-bed bungalow somewhere.
I wonder why they have those net curtains on the back.
That's right. And his curtain, I used to go to school with her.
Hey! Not really. And if you get anywhere
latest
close,
news.
And if you walk too close to it, the lights come on.
Yeah, that's right. Tim.
The latest news is that two more drivers have been announced in the last 2 days, with Nick Leeson.
Not that one for our international listeners.
Not
by
the one who brought down bearings. This one's
that's
got
last
this
year one now, with so many much bigger banks have collapsed. He's just a small fry.
Yeah, he's done many bearings in his time. He's collapsed many bearings in his time, but nothing to do with banging.
Wheel bearings, but he'll be driving a BMW 1 Series. Yeah.
Oh, well, a BMW 1
what, that,
Series?
That diesel one that
a
didn't
diesel
work
one.
Last year from the Ipswich people.
It was 2 years ago, actually.
Was it? Well, because I was doing it, yes. Before I was passed over.
A BMW 1 Series?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
That's a proper touring car. It's a diesel. It's a proper car. Mm. So Nick Leeson will be driving that for Team AFM. And more importantly, RML are entering with Chevrolet Lissetti, driven by one Jason Plato.
Where's the money come from for that, then?
I don't know. You're the one who's friends with RML. You ask them.
Who's the sponsors?
ITV right, well, or Mr. Agow?
Well, I was going to say, is there any Australian dollars involved? Because there's no way that RML have entered unless they've been paid. There's no way that GM want that car in because it isn't the current car.
Yeah, break a point.
There's no way that Vauxhall want that car in because there's a potential that with a decent driver and run by a good team that will embarrass the works entry.
And they did
so
say
where has it come from?
It's a world touring
there's
car
no,
weekend
John,
off, so they're using the world
no
touring
way,
car
there's
guys.
No way that
go on, Dex.
There's no way that Plato's entered if he's not been paid on there.
Well,
paid
a
thing,
lot.
The thing is,
aviation fuel doesn't pay for itself.
No.
He's sold his plane, apparently. Jason Plato has a lot of personal sponsors, and a rumour I heard was that Jason Plato's personal sponsors would only be sponsoring him if he was seen to be racing somewhere.
Yeah. He's got Tracker Snooper. And people... Oh, Snooper, that's right. But they're not putting a huge amount of money in.
I'd imagine significant significant enough for Jason not to want to lose
TV
the money.
Presence. I'm sure more people see him on fifth gear than they do on touring cars.
Yes, but interestingly, part of him being on fifth gear and part of the reason that he's never gone to the World Touring Car Championship, although he is he's been offered, is that he doesn't want to race outside the UK because he needs to keep his presence up for the gig that he has on British television. It's no good for him racing.
It's obviously paying him well then, if he's turning down World Touring Car rides.
I spoke with him a couple of years ago and said, why have you never gone to World Touring Cars? And he said to me that he has to be racing in the UK to keep his profile up.
And
World Touring Car Championship isn't even covered on British television.
Yeah, and also Jason is the ultimate person for British touring cars. As you know, I consider British touring cars and NASCAR to be sports entertainment rather than race series. And he's the right person. He's a big personality. He's prepared to dish it out and take it. He's great for a quote. He's the sort of person...
He's the man with the black hat in British touring cars.
Exactly right.
You know, and that's why he needs to stay in England. What would he do in the World Touring Car Championship? He's such a dour championship.
Jochendauer.
Indeed. Right, so
can we go to Formula One now, please? After
we
that
certainly can.
Fun?
I'd really like to see who's sponsoring that car and where the money's come from.
It'll be unveiled on Saturday,
and presumably how many races he's in.
Just this one, at the moment.
Oh, just this one. Ah, right, that makes more sense then.
They're running on a race to base basis.
A race to base basis.
Race to race basis.
You could be the Formula One, Formula One.
We've obviously had quite a controversial weekend in the wonderful world of Formula One, thanks to Diffuser Row.
There's a job for you at the BBC, mate.
Yeah,
you can't pronounce things.
We discussed the Formula One preview. But apparently there's another rumbling complaint going about KERS, in that they say that some of the team's KERS is producing too much power.
Ooh.
Now, whilst we...
Nick, it's eating tyres, according to Ferrari.
Yeah.
Using the combination
literally
of the really
tires.
Ludicrously soft tyre... plus the weight, plus the power that it develops, is chewing tires.
The weight is no different from any other car. Let's just get this out of the way. All the cars are 605 kilograms. Yeah. So whether you run KERS or you don't run KERS, your car's 605 kilograms.
But the weight may have to be in not the correct place. Now,
And you ridiculed me for saying batteries were under fuel tanks. And if
I didn't ridicule, I didn't know that. That's what I said.
Except for people like Renault, who have moved the batteries forward to get more weight forward.
They're not stuck them on that ridiculous bargeboard sail they've got at the back of the engine.
That would be a bit high,
I know.
I think.
But let me go back to the key point. The key point is that obviously we all saw the graphics which showed the battery going down, which of course I felt quite at home with, being an electric radio controlled car racer. Just I don't get new battery every lap.
And I felt very at home at owning a Motorola phone.
Exactly.
Which switching itself
but
off.
But apparently, and it's as yet unnamed teams are being protested by other teams, because rather than having 80 horsepower, they are said to be getting about 95 by using clever software. Now, the way this has been done is by analysis of engine sound, to work out how the engine is accelerating, because it's quite easy these days, because all the engines are the same, effectively.
Well, in fact, interesting you should say that, because the graphic that you see on the screen, of course, is not driven, or certainly when it first came on...
That was the rev counter.
The rev counter was never...
based on the sound.
Correct.
Because FOM, who I work for, started a very clever sound engineer, invented it. When the teams wouldn't give any telemetry to F1, even Bernie, he said, I can do that. They're all V10s. I can work out the resonance, and that was how it was done from the onboard. And he's terribly forgotten his name, but he's a brilliant guy. So there's likely to be a complaint about the KERS. Now, the one thing I have to say whilst we're talking about complaints, and this is absolutely key, because people keep making this mistake: the result of the Australian Grand Prix will now not be changed. Now that the Toyota protest has been dropped, that is the final result. Even if after the Malaysian Grand Prix, the diffusers get declared illegal, there is no backtracking, because what happens is, from that point onwards, you'll have to change them. The results of the first two Grand Prix will stand, and we had all the BBC commentators, radio and TV and pundits, getting that wrong. It is, and also a lot of the people in the so-called knowledge websites. Fact is, those cars are legal for the first two races.
Mm-hmm. They're not retrospectively banned. Precisely the same issue with the fan car.
Yeah,
precisely the same issue with the fan cars. One result in Sweden counted It got banned after that.
That's it.
This is exactly the same.
But I don't know why people find this so hard to understand. It's the same. It only happened 2 years ago with Ferrari's moving floor.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. If it's passed by the scrutineers...
They can't take away the points. They can't take away the victory.
Exactly.
There'll be no asterisk.
If, just to explain the difference, if the diffuser cars had been declared illegal and they'd appealed...
Correct. And they'd been racing under appeal.
Then they would have their results taken away. But that's not what happened. All these results aside, Jensen has his second win. Braun has their 18 points. That ain't going to change.
Right, okay. And the Toyota appeal that Nick was talking about was the
25 seconds.
Jarno Trulli driving off the track to make sure that their good friend Lewis Hamilton once again got more points than he deserved.
He didn't get to go on the podium, did he? So, yeah.
No, I know, but that's so Jarno gets to spray the champagne.
I think you have to say, I know you're not his biggest fan, but that was a pretty good drive.
He was looking
by Lewis. No.
Everybody in front of him fell off. How many
John,
people did
you know
pass?
What? John,
if you keep
John,
your head when everyone else around them is losing theirs, that is a good drive. The guy did brilliantly.
I'm not that sure
John,
that's exactly what Kipling
wrote. Argument. You cannot fit the facts to fit your argument here. He started last. He finished on the podium.
He started 18th, not last.
With a truly rubbish car,
he finished on the podium. End of story. That was a terrific drive. Do not attempt to argue because the fact just absolutely can't back up anything you're going to say.
He was very lucky with the touring car that came
safety
out.
Car.
The touring car result
safety
he got
car,
as well.
Could I point out that the car which started behind him finished ahead of him,
although it was later disqualified.
Trulli
drive was brilliant.
Yes, but the
Trulli
point
drive was equally brilliant.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the McLaren is a really rubbish car, and the Toyota isn't. I'm surprised how bad the McLaren
Toyota
is.
Toyota was third fastest in practice.
I thought that it was very interesting watching him on the onboard, that he clearly knew he hadn't got a hope in hell of being there on pace. The first corner, he was nowhere. And in fact, arriving at the first corner last was a massive...
He probably thought, right, what can I do? I can fire it all up, get
in
the melee.
He did still manage to fire it off.
Through.
He did still manage to fire it off on the first lap on his own.
But I think he did really well.
I think this is massively unfair because if that had been
I'm supporting him.
No, not you. Not you. I've had criticism from friends of mine as well, and John's criticism is massively unfair. If that had been Alain Prost in that car, and he'd started 18th and finished 3rd, everybody said, oh yes, tremendous Prost-like performance.
Hang on, everybody has said that about Hamilton, mate. I'm just saying I thought he was quite lucky. He clearly had a slow car.
No, you're always lucky. There has to be an element of either good fortune for you or ill fortune for others to make up 15 places in modern
absolutely.
Formula 1. However, you have to be there and do it. And several
what
other
was
people
did Arnold Palmer once said, the harder I practice, the luckier I get.
And that's all you can say for that.
That's Declan Brennan.
Moving on.
It's raining in Malaysia, Nick.
Yes, it often does. And of course, they're running.
It always rains.
Well,
in
interestingly, they are also
Ladies
running the Malaysian.
Ray Winston.
Jason Statham.
Jason
they,
Statham.
Are running the Malaysian Grand Prix later in the afternoon as well.
Ooh, dark rain.
Pretty well known that that's when it rains. The fact they've missed rain in Malaysia most years is because they actually run it early enough in the afternoon before the tropical storm in the evening.
Poor Nico Rosberg will not be happy about that because he doesn't eat his carrots.
Yet he can't see.
He can't see in the twilight. What does he do when he gets into his road car?
Puts his lights on.
Not at that time of day.
And he's not doing 170 miles an hour.
Well. Speaking of Nico Rosberg, something we really, really need to talk about is the fact that he, on his option tour, did his fastest lap of the race
then
on his first lap out of the pit.
Shredded them to pieces
in three laps.
Yeah, exactly. And then, literally, one lap later, those tyres are qualifying tyres. They are not race tyres.
And you have to say it's a brilliant idea because by making them two compounds apart, everyone starts talking about tyres. So well done, Bridgestone.
Michelin, isn't it? Who provided F1 tyres? Goodyear, surely.
Stop it. It's not Avon or Cooper or Firestone or
Dunlop?
No.
Other tyres are available and most of them are better than Bridgestone.
Moving on, we were talking about Alain Prost just now.
Yeah.
We may, or in fact we will, this weekend be seeing Prost versus Senna again.
Possibly.
Senna's not running, is he? He's not on the entry list, is he?
I'm not sure that's true, Tim, to be honest.
No.
You're talking about the Le Mans series, yes, aren't you, at Barcelona, where Nicolas Prost has been...
No, you were right the first time.
Nicolas Prost and Bruno Senna.
Bruno... I'm not sure that Bruno's in the shorter races, actually. But
they're all 6 hours.
Yes.
Well, they're the shorter races, mate.
Well, the shorter races in the Algarve, of course.
That's true. They're 3 hours, aren't they?
Nick, I think we need to pick up on that point, irrespective of our love of the Le Mans series. The tyre issue is actually...
Oh, no, we've done too much on tyres, Dex. Move on.
Oh, stop it.
No, come on, move on.
The tyre issue combined...
It's a spec tyre, man. It's a spec tyre. If they want to have tyres that last, have some competition, it's a completely fabricated conversation that we're having, because there's no issue about tyres in Formula 1 other than Bridgestone can't build them properly.
No, that's... John, you're wrong. They have built them deliberately to do this.
Yes, I know.
So
it's a fabricated...
It's not building it wrong, it's building it right.
It's a very clever PR move, but that's all it is.
Well, it makes it a lot of interest. And I think the other thing that is interesting is that, and Dex alluded to it, is that several teams who actually look pretty quick have got major tyre durability issues, the key one being Ferrari. And their car,
and Braun,
again, looked good.
Because if that hadn't been a safety car and Kubica hadn't taken himself out with Vettel, then Kubica would have caught them. He wouldn't have won.
He wouldn't. If I was watching the live timing.
No, not a chance, John.
I was watching the live timing.
So, what, 2.5 seconds a lap that he was taking out the leader?
That was absolute fluff by Marin Tyson. He was gaining a second and a half a lap over Vettel. He was gaining 0.2 over Jensen.
Jensen didn't have enough fuel to finish either.
Where'd you read that?
Trust me, it's true.
Midweek Motorsport, where John just makes stuff up.
That's true.
Sorry, hang on, guys. I am now looking at the Le Mans Series event, and we do have Bruno Senna in the...
thank you very much.
In the Areca.
Is there a Mansell in as well? Could we have Senna? Is it Mansell versus Senna?
The Mansell?
There is a Mansell. There's a Senna, a Mansell, and a Prost.
Yeah, the Mansell is... where is he? In one of the Ferrari 430s, isn't he?
God, this is like that terrible Rock the Cradle show on MTV, where the sons and daughters of famous singers sing songs and they're really bad.
Well, that sounds like a really good concept.
Bruno Senna
is
quite
it?
Good. Nicolas Prost has improved a lot.
Don't know
what
he's going to be like in a sports car, though, Bruno.
Good.
Don't know what anything.
Leo Mansell's
like
driving for Team Medina with
Antonio
Modena. Garcia, so he's got a good teammate.
If you're going to be there this weekend, it's Modena, by the way, not Medina.
Funky cold Medina.
Yeah, spelt differently.
Back to this issue of Jensen Button's fuel.
Yes, where'd you hear that one?
That's a complete lie. We're not going to cover that.
Ross Brawn gave an interview where he said they were going to be tight on fuel and they didn't think they could make it without a splash at the end. Leo Mansell is there.
Yeah, they're all there. I have the list in front of me.
So just to finish on this, I think the issues with tyres combined with the massive chances of rain really means that we are... just stop for 1 second. It just means that we have even more crazy variables this weekend. Literally anybody, and I mean anybody, could win this race based on the fact that nobody seems to have got the cars quite right. The tyres are all over the place. It's going to rain. Anybody, it could be Sebastian Vettel, Adrian Sutil could win this race, for goodness sake.
Anyone could win it, yes. Moving on, and Peter Cooper, the former chief executive of the MSA, has died aged 86.
Okay.
John?
Commiserations to all that knew. He was
a former driver.
He started life as a driver. He certainly moved the MSA on quite a few steps, particularly commercially, when he took over the job. He's been out of the job for quite some time, of course, but still a very popular character around the paddocks of the UK.
Finished second on the 1954 RAC Rally.
Did he?
He did. He was a member of the FIA World Council and FISA Vice President.
Mm-hmm. Well, was that Vice President to Mr. J.M. Balestra?
Yes, he was.
It was, yes. Mm-hmm. Until 1986.
Oh my goodness! So he was there during the. He was a busy man during the FISA Folk War. Then, if that was the case, if he was there in the early 80s, blimey!
Voice of Reason. Many would have said.
Last year, he was given a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Rightly so.
What for not hitting Jean-Marie Bilastre every day?
he was a bit of a calming influence, according to people who knew what was going on at the time.
Do you know my only Jean-Marie Bilastre story?
This is the one that you get out every time we mention anything
to do
with...
Then I shan't even mention it.
Is this your Ari Vatten story, then?
Well, no, because he wasn't naked. He was just a bloody idiot. He was a buffoon, but a clothed buffoon.
And anyone who hasn't heard that story before, listen to the podcasts of previous seasons.
About seven previous shows, I should think.
Moving on.
The British Formula 3 International Series had its media day on Tuesday. We didn't go to it.
We didn't send Nick to interview loads of little children.
No, I wasn't.
Like we did last year.
I wasn't allowed out. There's a restraining order.
And what's your name? My name is John. What do you want? I want to be a Grand Prix. I'm going to win a bigger.
No, you forget most of them now have foreign accents. I want to be a Grand Prix driver.
As the top driver in testing was Daniel Ricciardo, who's Australian.
Age 9.
G'day.
It would have been that sort of accent. Yes, he's 19, actually, Dex.
Oh, my God, he's a veteran.
My Lord.
Yeah. That's a year older than Ulster's Wayne Boyd.
18 years old, Wayne Boyd, my goodness.
Formula 3 champion last year.
And are they all skipping Formula Renault now and just going straight into F3?
Not all of them. Adriano Bazaid's done 2 seasons of Formula Renault. Howell Lloyd has done Formula Renault as well. He's 24.
Howell Lloyd!
Carlos Fuertes did Formula BMW, though. And Ricky Christodoulou, of course, was a frontrunner in Formula Renault last season.
And Howell Lloyd, of course, has extensive experience hanging off the arm of a trolley car in San Francisco in black and white, swinging from side to side while climbing buildings.
He didn't really do it. It was all keyed on afterwards. Back projection.
No, Harold Lloyd did it all his own stunts. That's the point. Harold Lloyd did all of his own stunts. That's what made him extraordinary. Anyway, carry on.
Also on Tuesday, it was the launch of the British GT Championship, which has even younger
Where
drivers than
in
the British
sea?
F3 series.
So how many have they got for those? Because the numbers at the British F3 look quite low.
Yes, if you include the GT3 and GT4 drivers...
7.
Then you get up to quite a large number, but... Yes. Further diversity is added by the Team Precy Spark Ascari KZR1.
How's that? What's diverse about it?
It's driven by brothers. It's not
very
diverse,
is
it?
Is the British GT Championship very much an SRO product whereby you write to them and say, I've got this car that doesn't fit any other category, but I'd really like to race it. And they say, hang on, give us a few minutes and we'll invent a class for you. And then he ends up with 80 cars, like he used to do in France.
I think it's pretty much that way, yes.
18 cars, I think, is closest.
Help.
The FIA GT Championship, on the other hand... has proper GT cars in it, including a full-speed racing Saline. In fact, 2 of them.
It's a lot of Salines knocking about. There's a couple of Salines in
the Saline. It's a Saline as opposed to Saline, which is a solution
which is
applied to the body.
It can't be right because Rod Stewart sang about it. We are Saline. See, you know, must be that.
Stefan
Lemieux
and
in the Le Mans series as well.
Michel Orts and Luke Kynes and Fernando Monfardini are driving the ones in the FIA GT Championship.
Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of breaking news, of course, just to add to this.
They'll be joined by Johnny Molum.
For
the longer races. Well,
actually, you know what? I'll leave my breaking news till later.
Is it the same breaking news that I'm aware of in America that's come as a big shock because everyone thought it disappeared?
Go on.
Well, if it's American, we'll come on to it later. We'll do it on the
Oval. Okay, we will do. Yes, absolutely.
It's very
obvious
news, isn't it?
You've certainly confused me now. Yeah. No idea where we're
going. When are we starting our IndyCar preview? I know our American listeners will be getting very excited about
Shortly.
Our thoughts on
After we've done the letters. Super League Formula is delighted to welcome on board the leader of the French Football League. Olympique Lyonnais.
Olympique Marseille. Olympique Lyonnais, yes. They're the ones with all the money. Yes. They are, without question, the richest club in France.
Yes.
It's actually silly in French football how rich Olympique Lyonnais are.
Lyon fans will get the chance
to... They have 9 pounds and everybody else has a pound.
Lyon fans will get the chance to support the car bearing the colours of their club on home soil in the first round of the season, which is Magny-Cours.
Magny-Cours, yes.
Wow, so there'll be eight people there.
Is that a new team or a replacement?
No, it's a new team. It brings the grid up to 19 cars from 15 different countries, including Liverpool, Porto, PSV Eindhoven, Atletico de Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, AC Milan.
If we removed our cynicism about that series for 1 minute, or about series in general, and just took it for what it is, it's actually quite enjoyable.
It is.
The problem I have is I can't see it anywhere.
You could go to Magny-Cours, Zolder, Donington, Estoril, Mons, and Haram.
I'm happy to go. They pay me to go. But I think it's unlikely.
You could go to Donington.
You can watch it. You can watch it online.
You can watch it on their website.
And news of one of their graduates, Duncan Tappy, of course, has just signed for a graduate of the Tottenham Hotspur team, I do believe.
Indeed.
Just signed for Indy Lights.
Well, he's also a graduate of Formula Renault, isn't he?
Yes, which we were talking about earlier.
Mm.
Well, he had some podiums in Super League Formula. You're very, very correct.
He had some podia in.
He was indeed.
Yeah, but the fact is, but the fact that he was able to succeed driving vastly powerful cars compared to the more powerful cars compared to the Renaults will stand him in good stead when he starts his Forest Own Indy Lights career this weekend.
I've been very impressed with Duncan Tappy, and I think he'll succeed in everything he does. He's got a good demeanour. He's very PR and media friendly and savvy, and I think he's quite a talent. As Declan's pointed out, he's driven a vast array of cars. He must have been very close indeed to winning the Autosport Young Driver title. Hang on a second, I've got to go.
Let's move on to this then.
Hey! That's what I love about live radio.
He's in Spanish.
Bono Estende.
Nick, can you confirm that John's just rushed towards the bathroom?
No, he's just rushed towards that olive tree again.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. he's been preventing nibbling of a tree by Godzilla.
There we are.
Go for it, then.
This is a press release which claims to come from MG Motorsport.
There's no such thing as MG Motorsport.
Oh, yes, there is, because they've sent me a press release. And I know it's a proper press release, because it says at the top, Información de Prensa Oficial.
Hmm.
Ah, so if you type official on something, it's definitely real then. I must remember, note to self.
Official, yes.
Stick the word official on everything.
Bahu Intensa Nibbler Federico Moises, Logro and Meriti Rojo, Segundo Puesto a la Tercia Final del Ano de la FR Plus.
Right.
So somebody was nibbling a driver in his final year of his contract. I'm not really sure how that helps him in any way. You'll have to give us more details.
I know what an Audi Plus is, but an FR Plus.
Mm. I think FR could be Formula Renault, possibly. I don't know.
No, see, that would make perfect sense.
That would make sense.
If they've now invented Formula Renault Plus, that means there's now 472,000 various Formula Renault championships.
And I could understand why. The plus is obviously the fact that you have to nibble your driver during the race. So obviously during a mandatory pit stop. So carry on.
So do we think then that this is something like Mario Graziani in Motorsport and nothing to do with Morris Garages then?
No, perhaps it's an energy bar is sponsoring Formula Renault Plus.
Ah,
so you can
nibble
on it as you go along.
I like that. That's very good.
And El Termite de la Carrera.
It's termite flavour.
Oh, it's a termite. I thought he said marmite.
There's a lot of protein termites.
Bush took them on.
Aborigines or native Australians are very fond of a good termite. So obviously they're bringing
it's a termite-based energy bar. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, brilliant.
Sponsoring Formula Renault Plus. Carry on, Tim.
Vueltas más tarde, Martini Pierre de Toda Referencia Visual y Se de Pista.
So therefore there's also some vermouth as well. So it's a bit, you know, so how are they going to handle the drink dry thing? You're having a termite bar, you're drinking a martini. What you know, I'm surprised by this sponsorship.
And then you go skiing down the pista.
No, I think this is actually I think what this is that Martini have announced that they're coming back into syndicated nonsense TV production with John, and their main feature will be the formerly Renault Plus Termite Energy Bar Nibbling Championship.
Yes.
Yes.
Which Eurosport have said they're going to show live and in its entirety, as opposed to any proper motorsport.
Until of course,
live and for briefly.
Yeah, until the tennis comes on, or the volleyball, or the ham.
If Andy Blackmore is listening, can he please quickly create a Termite Energy Bar wrapper and logo, please, for us, if you can. Thank you.
And I'm just hearing the British Formula 3 will be the support.
along with the jam and the police.
A joke which references last week's show.
Do you please catch up, dear listener?
The second round of the Kick Energy Fiesta Sports Trophy was won by 2009 rookie Matt Edwards. We're on to rallying now.
No, we're not doing
Edwards
that.
Edwards and Cockermouth in Cumbria and his long time navigator Andy Murphy.
Stop talking over each other. Would you like some real news?
What about the economy?
Well, there's news of the first of what I expect to be several withdrawals from the Le Mans entry list.
Really?
Oh, but we have a replacement.
Well, there's plenty of replacements.
It's 9 replacements.
Not some of the people that should have been. GigaWave with the Aston Martin. Seattle Advanced Engineering, which is Patrick Dempsey's team, who is the Grey's Anatomy star.
Yes, of TV and video, and he was in was he in? He was in that.
He was in the Long Beach race
quite
often,
wasn't he?
If you
say
so.
Was he in Beverly Hills 90210?
No, that was Jason Priestley.
No, he wasn't.
That was him, was it?
I only know.
He also owns a racing team, but that's a different story.
And Frankie Muniz, who was in Malcolm.
Only one Aston Martin now in the GT1 category, and that's the DBR9 of Jet Alliance. So next, moving up. It's a Ferrari that goes into the race in GT2.
430 GT.
Yeah, and it is the Porsche of China endurance team. The GT2 is now top of the list, should anyone else drop out like Aston Martin.
Do you mean their third car rather than completely?
Yes, their third car is in... I had a chance meeting only this morning. Only yesterday... Tuesday it was yesterday, with a senior executive of Aston Martin Racing. They're working very hard to get the sponsorship in place for that third car. It is not yet in place, and there's going to be a cut-off time, because if the ACO get a bit peeved about you dropping out too late for them to replace. Although this year, of course, with no test day, it perhaps...
You drop out on the Tuesday.
Isn't... Well, no, only if someone else was there. Well,
it's happened in the past, hasn't it, John?
Epsilon only got in with 2 days ago, their second car,
2 years
they?
Ago.
Last year, Uscuddy Epsilon, who...
Was it Racing Box who cocked up? Or
yeah, it was, with the Lucchini.
The car that didn't meet any standards
ever.
Whatsoever.
In the history of ever standards or car.
Well, it was actually just a drawing.
Made up rules.
May as well have been.
The problem was, Dex, that the drawing in the car bore no relationship to each other, I think.
They homologated it about 3 years ago. Then they kept on developing it. It didn't homologate any of the developments. The car no longer bore any resemblance to the original car.
I think that's pretty much how it boiled down to. So,
of course, what they did was they rang Stefan Rattel and said, "We have this car that doesn't fit into any category at all. Can we race it in one of your GT series?"
No.
And his answer was, "No, hang on a second." And his answer was, "Do you have the exorbitant entry fee?" Yes, you're in.
No, do you know what he said, "I'm thinking of inventing Formula Renault Plus with my Termite Energy Bar."
The reason behind GigaWave's withdrawal is actually quite interesting.
No money.
No. You might remember we touched on this briefly, but we didn't mention the team. Nissan Motor Company in Japan, and through their tuning arm Nismo, have decided to develop a GT1 version of the new Nissan GTR. Completely
at
odds.
That's what GigaWave are going to do next.
Correct.
Isn't it?
Completely at odds with anybody else who's developing GT1s or not. So GigaWave have devoted all of its resources to Nismo and their plans for this season. That's the
I'm just hearing news. I'm just hearing news that Toyota are pulling out of F1 to develop a Group C car.
Called the Toyota GT2.
And I've heard that Honda are pulling out of F1 just so they design a decent car.
Oh, that's an April Fool's joke, surely. Moving on, Tim.
Moving on into some A1GP news.
Hurrah.
Three pieces of A1GP news.
Right.
First of all,
go on then.
The A1GP Team Portugal car, driven by Felipe Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, apparently. We've been saying it wrong all these years.
Have you not got the jingle?
The jingle. Let's see if we've got the jingle.
I can do it. I can just sing it.
So Albuquerque.
Now, for a bonus point, can anybody tell me who sang it, what's the song, and what album it's on?
Prefab Sprout. Paddy McAloon wrote it. Thank you. It's from Langley Park to Memphis is the album.
Very good, but the song is the King of Rock and Roll.
King's Rock and Roll, yeah.
Hot dog.
And do you know where Langley Park is?
It's in Newcastle.
No, Langley's in Berkshire.
No, it is a housing estate on the south side of Durham.
Because the whole song is about it's a case of the de-glamorization of rock and roll. Because the start of the song is Brucey Dreams, Life's a Highway.
That's right, Bruce
Too
Springsteen.
Too many roads, bypass my way. It's all Bruce Springsteen, yeah.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Not as good as the Steve McQueen album.
Hello. Could I just say, if Paddy McAloon's listening, hello to Alan McNish.
Yeah.
If Paddy McAloon is listening, I went to see you on your final tour, and I wish it wasn't your final tour. There we go.
I do like him, and John is right. Steve McQueen is a magnificent album.
They're all magnificent albums. Even the last album was good, which the one with electric guitars on it. What was it called? Dex.
I can't remember.
It's 10 years. 12 years now, in fact, since that album came out. It was a very good album, though.
God, it's not as good as Steve McQueen, the first album.
No, Steve McQueen, 1985.
Absolutely brilliant, classic album. Not a bad track on it. And it's available on Amazon via a link at RadioLamont.com.
And in fairness, they're not as good as Aztec Camera.
No, Nick,
that's a great point.
Aztec Camera were good, but they didn't have the volume of work that...
Tim, I think you're wrong.
You go to Roddy Frame as well.
Aztec Camera, i.e. Roddy Frame's body of work, is actually bigger than that of Paddy
McAloon. We can't talk about his solo work as well. Nick,
excuse me, can we get back to motorsport, please?
He is Prefab Sprout.
He once went to Brands Hatch on a Tuesday.
Just to say, Prefab Sprout will be supporting the BARC Formula Renault.
Formula Renault Plus with new Termito Bar for all your insect energy.
Felipe Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Will be making a special appearance at the special stages of the World Rally Championship Rally of Portugal.
Actually, I'm just wondering something, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the biggest tangent we've gone off on? Is whether
Aztec Camera
were better than Prefab Sprout?
I like them both.
are special stages in an event like the Special Olympics?
Do you know what's really scary?
WRC, yes,
do you know what's
is.
Really scary about what we've just been talking about? The release of the original album classic box set of Prefab Sprout was yesterday.
Ooh.
Oh, you're kidding me! Well, Paddy McAloon probably is listening then. So, Paddy, send us a copy to review.
And apparently, the last four tracks on Jordan the Comeback are inexplicably missing.
Is that Jordan the surgically enhanced model?
No, it was
Eddie Jordan.
There's your link to motorsport, mate.
Eddie Jordan, the statuesquely challenged team boss.
And the appropriate song to play here would be Cars and Girls.
Ah, very good.
It's Thursday the 2nd of April at 5:30 Felipe
Albuquerque
will be driving the A1GP car on the special stage of the World Rally of Portugal.
They've jacked the suspension up.
I just make one correction. I made a mistake. Cars and Girls, the opening line is Brucey Dreams.
Yes, that's Brucey, right.
I think Life's a Highway, not King of Rock and Roll. I do apologise.
That's probably what makes me... made me think of
new Prefab Sprout album called Let's Change the World with Music will be out in the summer on Kitchenware Records.
New material.
And you're listening to the Word podcast. carry on.
Thomas Dolby producing them again as well, so that's...
Excellent.
Oh, Thomas Dolby. He blinded them with science, apparently.
He did a fantastic production job on another Sunderland band, another North East band, this one from Sunderland called Dance Class, in about 1986. or seven. And if anybody's got a copy of that album, which is called simply Dance Class, then please let me know, because I can't get it anywhere. And there were some of my mates.
It has to be said, Thomas Dolby, very importantly for our American listeners, he did Blinded Me with Science, which was a huge hit and still gets lots of airplay in the United States. Probably the only hit record on this side of the Atlantic in America that ever featured Magnus Pike, it has to be said.
Actually, I've heard Thomas Dolby, he's got very famous fingers, hasn't he? Old Dolby Digital.
Very good.
He's
let's move on. Please, let's get back to motorsport.
He's very much in the...
please... Please, I'll take my headset off and go and take another phone call if you don't.
A1GP.
I can't turn Tim down, that's the problem. Like, what happens is you've just got to keep talking because Tim is well-mannered enough not to talk over you.
So A1GP's season finale will take place at Mexico City on the weekend from hell, Declan.
Tim, I love your professionalism. Continuing a press release nobody cares about right till the end.
This is a new press release.
But we don't care. The important thing is, and it's a post already, it's a thread on the Facebook side, and it's and we've already got a lot of answers to it. The whole idea that May 24th has just become the weekend of absolute mentaliness from hell.
Last year, of course, that happened on, I believe, September the 13th.
But this year it's World Superbikes from Kyle Amy in the morning, mm-hmm. followed by the Monaco Grand Prix, with sandwiched the sprint and feature race of the A1GP in Mexico. Then we have the IndyCars, and we have the World, then we have the World 600 from Charlotte. So 24 hours of Nürburgring, and the thing is, John, which is very disturbing about our listeners, and it says a lot about the type of listener we have. People have already said that I'll be listening to the entire Nürburgring 24 hours if Radio Le Mans is covering it, followed by watching everything else. Which,
yes.
I have to say, I'm sorry, those people clearly don't have girlfriends or wives, is all I can say.
We'll be more entertaining, though, and probably factually more correct than most of the commentary teams on any of the other things.
One more piece of A1GP news, and that is that Vodafone is to be the title sponsor of this weekend's
GBR,
race.
The reincarnated team A1GP?
No, for this week's race. It's a race sponsor this weekend for Algarve in Portugal.
In Portugal, yes.
Next weekend, isn't it?
The series, it has to be said, Tim, Nick, John, et al., Alan McNish, Paddy McAloon, the series is, without question, building up to a wonderful finale.
Yes,
Switzerland, Ireland,
and
very, very enjoyable.
Netherlands and even Portugal are still in there.
You could
always
say it's winding up to a finale.
Yes, it may well be winding up.
Oh dear! And that's the sad thing, chaps, is that between, as I said earlier about Super League Formula, between Super League Formula and A1, if people actually ignored the nonsense around them and could get access to watch them, they would see terrific racing with big, powerful single-seater cars with big, slick, fat tyres on them that don't necessarily handle brilliantly, and it's all good stuff. It's actually the sideways move in terms of single-seater racing is producing some fantastic racing at the moment, and it's just a shame that maybe people are just are ignoring it purely because they're reading all the nonsense about whether it's going to exist or not. If you ignore that, the racing is bloody good.
And moving on, have you got time for more news before we do letters?
I have one more story,
right?
Ooh.
Which is about Fred Henderson.
Good old Fred Henderson, Colwear Tyres. Yes.
The Durham City rally driver and garage proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
He plans to reinvent soapbox racing.
Oh, I saw this somewhere recently. I must have got
the same.
Oh, God,
John will use his. Hindoff should be sponsoring it.
Mine's
soapbox anymore.
Mine's clearly way too well used, Declan. Although, you know, it's been worn down plenty from jumping up and down on it. This is off-road soapboxing, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, soapbox rallying.
Mm-hmm.
The time has come, he says, for people of all ages to return to their youth and get involved in soapbox rallying. Fathers and sons, brothers and sisters, grandparents and grandchildren.
We will fight them on the beaches.
Is this because Red Bull have effectively stolen the idea of the soapbox, globally stolen the idea of the soapbox derby and you know, literally taken ownership of it, which
there
they have.
There used to be a very, very high-tech one. Well, it got very high-tech at the Hill Climb
Festival of Speed.
At Goodwood House. And
just remind us why that doesn't happen anymore, John.
Because people were getting seriously injured.
Mm.
because McLaren and Lotus and every, it started off as a bit of a laugh, and then McLaren and Lotus and Dallara and various other people started building these cars with zero friction bearings and fully enclosed bodies and
carbon fiber
everything, and all of a sudden they were doing like 65 and 70 miles an hour down the hill at Goodwood, which right frankly isn't a huge incline.
It's not a steep hill, no.
This is and this is getting into Andy Lally territory, because
I know how to make it safer. Just go uphill.
Yeah, you have to push it. No, wait a minute. We've just had another press release in. Apparently, Eurosport have said that they'll cover the soapbox rallying in its entirety. And British Formula 3 are asking for dates and venues to see if they can share.
There must
and
be
apparently,
hundreds.
And Spandau Ballet will be the opening act.
There must
and
be hundreds of
the
very forming decks.
Series.
Decks? Spandau Ballet reforming for a new tour?
They did, yes. Absolutely. It was amazing. A group
true?
Who had more litigation than the FIA have had to cope with in the last few years.
That's gold. That
are actually getting back together, which is remarkable.
Communication
now,
let them down, Dex.
They've obviously come through their personal barricades.
Right, let's cut this long story short move on.
They found a lifeline and they've clung onto it.
I think that's every single one of their hits that
we're
we've...
We're back in the 80s, aren't we? God,
that was a medley of their hit.
Talking points. Observations. Questions. You have them. Don't keep them to yourselves. Email the team now. studio@radiolemans.com. We can't promise to put yours on the air, but we do read every single one. studio@radiolemans.com.
Let's have a look at some of the letters, some which we've held over. I'm going to rattle through a few of these and I'll ask for comment at various stages.
We'll interject whether you ask or not.
I know that. Roy in British Columbia has made some very good points about Sebring a few weeks ago, and thank you for that and thank you for the kind words. Bunking off school to go to racing was a comment the last couple of shows we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Andy Blackmore says, I used to bunk off to go to the RAC rally. Two things messed this up after a couple of years. One year, I said to my teachers that my granddad has died. Following year, I said the same thing. The teachers thought it was tragic that almost 1 year to the day, both grandfathers had died. All would have gone to plan, even with that, if one of the teachers hadn't seen me in service on the BBC Rally Highlights programme that weekend. By the way, both my grandfathers had previously died, so I wasn't being that horrible, he said. This from TJ. My best memory of paying hooky for racing was in 1994 with the Sebring 12 Hours. My brothers picked me up on Friday without my parents' knowledge, and we camped until my dad showed up over the weekend. I was only 7, so I was only in the first grade. Now, you can imagine that this is back before cell phones were so popular, and my mum had no idea where we'd gone. My father only realised because he picked up that the coolers and the camping equipment had gone from the cupboard, which I think...
That is brilliant.
That is...
TJ Halsberg, good man. John, can I add one? A celebrity one, very quickly. Martin Donnelly used to be smuggled in and out of his boarding school to go racing in Formula Ford and Formula Ford 2000. Really? They had to chuck him back into the, because obviously he couldn't be seen to get special treatment, but they were giving him special treatment. So literally on a Sunday night when he'd come back from Mondello or England or wherever he'd been, they'd literally get him back. Frank Nolan and Martin Senior would get him back to the boarding school, and they would throw him in through the window. So,
I think it was your brother Fergus that told me that story originally, Dex.
Benji,
I beg your pardon?
I think your brother Fergus told me that story originally.
Oh, did he?
This from Benji Crooks. He says, I once got my dad to take me to Formula 1 in 03 to see Friday practice. He said, how come you're not at school today? And he said, oh, it's one of those teachers' trainings days. And whilst we were going to the car, I saw people from my school walking past. And my dad said, aren't those guys from your school? And I looked him in the eyes at 11 years old and said, no, Dad, they go to a different school. Fantastic stuff. Darren Pearson, among others, has responded to what Mac users need to do. Apparently, they need to DLVLC. Does that make sense to you, Tim?
Download VLC.
Oh, download.
Okay. Are Mac users Scottish heroin addicts?
Trainspotters.
VLC apparently doesn't work for everyone because some people have tried it and it's not worked.
It's F-Stream doesn't work all the time either. It would just help if we had a separate Mac stream. Would be quite a good idea.
There's not enough people to justify that, I'm afraid, unless you want to pay for it. Jimmy Magnuson has been on the studio at RadioLeMans.com and said, where do all the old LMP 900 cars from 2000 to 2005 end up? Not
do
in
it properly.
Racing.
Where have all the LMP 900 cars gone? Long time passing.
Not in racing, it seems, which is a great shame since they're a set of good-looking
young
cars.
Young men crashed them, everyone.
Hang on a second.
When
next...
will they ever learn?
The next sound you hear, dear listener, will
you
be Nick
Damon.
You called
me Camp at the top of the show. What do you expect?
There is nothing like a Damon.
No, you see what's happened is Nissan and Toyota have bought all of them to because it's part of their R&D to backwards develop GT cars of the early 2000s.
They're planning to enter NASCAR.
The R8 he mentions here, and Gunnar Jeanette was talking about this at Sebring when he was on the radio with us about driving the R8, because the R8 is eligible for vintage racing in the US now, and he's been driving one, and with a customer map on it and customer tyres, it was less than 2 seconds slower than the ALMS cars at Sebring. So he says, the question is, would they keep up in pace with today's cars? Oh yes, they would. Quickly through this, Jim Casey has emailed and said, there are three teams in Formula One left in their basic form from the beginning, from 30 years ago. Ferrari, McLaren and Williams. Name the other teams of that era and how they evolved into the teams of today, citing all team names. So go back.
Hang on, it has to be, sorry, I have to argue with that. McLaren are certainly not the team they were in their basic form. They were bought out completely lock, stock and barrel by Project 4, and they're a completely different team than they were when
30 years. And it is 29, 30 years
yes.
since that happened.
That's what he's talking about, since those three
since,
teams.
Since 1980, 1979, about 1980, wasn't it? It was 81.
No, actually, that's fair enough. No, I apologise. Yes, Jim, you are correct. I do apologise. You're absolutely right.
So we need now, as well as that pyramid that Tim was always going to produce about the different formula, we need then the family trees of how... the F1 teams, people
I
like
think
Fifi.
You'd be surprised how many. I don't think any other teams survived through. If you actually backward generate, okay, you go through. Let's go Braun, Honda, BAR, 1997.
Yeah,
Tyrrell.
Yep.
No, because they didn't take anything from that car. They just took nothing. I know what you're saying, Tim, but I would.
Did they buy the franchise though?
No, they. They didn't take any. Well, they bought the entry, I suppose, but didn't take
right,
any.
Right, okay,
with
so Tyrrell.
Forwards.
Well, no, you've got to go backwards.
So
no, I think we've got to
all
go
right,
forwards.
If we go with Renault, Benetton, 85, 86, they Tolman. Started.
Mm-hmm. Tolman, Benetton.
We have Tolman, Renault.
Tolman started in 1981, so they don't count because they didn't come until the early 80s. Because
okay.
It goes Tolman, Benetton, Renault is
okay,
how it goes.
BMW, Sauber, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Where we need another team. Toyota, nothing.
Yeah.
Red Bull.
Super Guri Arrows.
Super Guri Red yeah. Bull. You've got Minardi, who became Toro Rosso. So
yeah.
They're still here, but that was it.
Minardi,
Toro Rosso.
Yeah, but Minardi didn't start until 1985 in F1.
Yeah, didn't. They didn't exist in Formula 1 until
Fifi.
Much later.
No, because that starts at Jordan in 91.
Yes.
We need to work the other way. We need to start with... Lotus
stopped in completely in what 80
the year that
90 94 3
oh it was later than that 95 I think or even 96 they got up to
really
yeah
okay carry on right next one
Ligier
Ligier Prost
Dave,
dead
Prost gone
dead in 2000
Fittipaldi
dead
didn't Shadow
dead
don't think they became
Shadow
anything else
Shadow became Arrows but not really. So no,
because Arrows were going
no,
at
Arrows,
the same time.
No, Arrows were a litigation
oh, Arrows
sideline,
were Endline.
Weren't they? They were litigation. No, Arrows started on their own and had to redesign their car after it was proven
yeah,
it was
okay.
a rip-off.
Keep, next team.
So
Ensign.
Ensign, yeah.
Ensign, nothing.
Gone.
Wolf.
Nothing.
Tyrrell.
None.
Well, yeah, no, you're right, Tim. Actually, technically, Tyrrell did become BAR as far as the FIA is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact they took nothing else, but you are right, they took the entry.
Yeah. So that's the only one.
Brabham?
No. They just that all ended with a big fight in the car park we can't talk about.
ATS?
Nothing.
Gone.
The Mezzario?
That was only there about 2 years.
yeah, Mezzario. Yeah,
also,
still
they,
going.
They were second-hand Lotuses, weren't they?
McLaren. Or no, McLarens. He used McLarens.
He used both. You're right, actually. But he used both. He used Lotuses towards the end.
Who else? What else?
No, they are all the different constructors that took part in the
Tyrrell, then, basically.
So Tyrrell.
First round of the 1979 Formula One World Championship.
Jim, that's mega. Very good. This from Nathan in Los Angeles. We were talking about BMW, Formula One, BMW, touring cars, and how it worked, you know, who's interested in what. He says, I work at a BMW dealer in Southern California, which is about as far removed from the world of F1 as you can get. However, there is an amazing amount of Formula One marketing materials available to the dealerships to use, and merchandise is very popular. BMW and BMW Sauber fans seem to come out of the woodwork and spend massive amounts of money on the F1 merchandise.
Very interesting point there. It's amazing how many people you see with BMW or BMW Sauber caps who you think have got... my son practices, goes to a golf range, and there's people wearing BMW Sauber caps there, and nothing else. They haven't got Vodafone caps.
No, this is because it all comes out of the dealership.
They wear a BMW Sauber cap and nothing else.
Yeah. You should stop your son going there. You really should stop your son going.
Apparently, it's Harry Vatten who's inspired them.
I went to a football match on Saturday, and there was someone wearing a Williams jacket there.
Well, interesting. Thanks for the invite to Wembley, by the way.
Yeah.
I even see customers on a weekly basis.
I can explain all of that.
Go on, then.
I can explain all of that because Williams and BMW... Well, actually, it's BMW, not Williams. BMW have always been the most forward-thinking in terms of their merchandise distribution and have probably done more in terms of selling merchandise at other events outside of Formula One.
Well, this is interesting, Dex, because what Nathan says, he mentions old BMW Williams kit that still comes out of the closets. He says, BMW provide a very good package for any dealer or dealer employee who wants to go to a Grand Prix anywhere in the world. When I talk to customers who are fans of F1 and they realise I'm a fan as well, it seems to create a solid customer relationship which benefits all departments. Conversely, we've yet to receive any materials and hardly any information from BMW North America regarding the GT2 M3. And the BMW Motorsport branded merchandise collection is far smaller and doesn't sell as well as the F1 collection. I believe if there was an F1 Grand Prix in the Western US, there would be a great many fans that would spend every penny available to attend. Take me, for example. I have signed pictures of Kubica and Heidfeld, which a co-worker bought me back from the 08 Spanish Grand Prix, and I'd do just about anything to attend a race. So that's very interesting, and thanks for that, Nathan, because we were speculating that there wasn't quite as much interest in Formula One. This is a bit of a crossover to the Facebook site, which I'm not sure if we'll have time to talk about with such a packed show tonight, but there is a great thread about proper cars on there, and John and Helen,
which I asked to start. Yes, I suggested that last week that we start that.
John D has submitted Maserati 250S, Ferrari 330 P4, Porsche 917 K, Lotus 72, Brabham BT52. Marvellous.
And obviously
stuff.
The Lola
B9950. That was an away win for Brabham BT there, I think, wasn't it?
Yes,
so you go through that list again?
But hang on, Williams FW07.
No, yeah. Lotus 72, Brabham BT52.
Williams
so just
did oh, no, no. A home win for Lotus by 20, yeah.
Stephen Irons, about the Australian Grand Prix, one of many, many letters. I don't think we need to comment much on this because he makes some interesting points. He says, we still actually saw precious little overtaking and still 15 people too many allowed to work on the cars and the pit stops. And I promise I haven't written this. But interestingly, it was still, quotes, an interesting race and a fabulous result. Aside from the aforementioned reduction of pit crew numbers down to what, let's say, six, we now need just one thing from Formula One, the FIA, to keep their grubby hands out of it and just keep turning down any stupid appeals, whinges and moans from the team who didn't think of the diffuser or any other design coup that the guys at Braun or anywhere else came up with. It's high time Charlie Whiting and his gang were replaced with a team brave enough to make snap decisions and a governing body brave enough to stand by them and kick the whiners into touch. F1 isn't the pinnacle of racing, just the most prestigious open wheel formula. This, however, still looks to be an interesting season. What we need is people to realise there just may be other teams of interest other than McLaren and those red cars. I will say, Stephen, that Charlie Whiting isn't the problem on that particular thing, because he's already looked at it and he's looked at it many times and has pronounced the aforementioned diffuser legal.
They're legal.
Michael Rennick has reminded us again that they're doing...
But of course his view doesn't count.
No, of course.
Because he's not a steward of the meeting.
Michael Rennick has reminded us that last summer we read out one of his emails about a race that's going on, the Lemons race at Nelson Ledges in Ohio on the 3rd and 4th of October. They're also running in South Carolina this weekend. Now, this is the weekend between Petit and Laguna. It's a full 24-hour event, and he's looking for drivers. I'd like to bring a couple of people into the team, as we hope that my wife will be expecting by then, and four drivers for a full 24 hours isn't enough. So anybody wants to do that, more information. It is the 24hoursoflemons.com, says Michael from Atlanta. I might be tempted to stay for that. Many people thanking us for the 12 hours of Sebring, and particularly for Tim's hard work to turn around the podcasts so quickly. When are we going to see Jeanetta Zytek back in the American Le Mans series? Danny Watts and perhaps Ayanori Shimoda would be fantastic and would keep the Acuras on their toes. Not going to happen, I think, until the second half of the season, if at all, but they will be out this weekend, of course.
I saw that Jeanetta Zytek testing.
Did you?
Mm.
It's quick, isn't it?
Mm. Had a Lawrence Tomlinson behind the wheel.
Andreas of Montreal, Canada, says, I'm really losing my temper with Formula One, and it's only the first race of the season. I watched the race. Fantastic strategy from Toyota. Great driving by Trulli and from Lewis Hamilton and McLaren, charging up from 18th to finish 4th. Never would I have imagined it. Yet, somehow, after all of that, the posterior retentive stewards still seem to find a way to mess up what was a very exciting race. I've woken up this morning to discover that Trulli's been relegated to 12th, being assessed a 25-second penalty for passing under the safety car. Now, I understand that an infringement may have indeed occurred, but does no one find the penalty a bit harsh when even Formula1.com's live timing feature was commenting on the confusing as it was occurring? Makes me wonder if anyone is actually working in race control during the race. Having stewards made godlike decisions after the fact is just pathetic. Why didn't they correct the situation during the three laps behind the safety car? Or they could have just demoted Trulli down to fourth, the position
they
should have.
They haven't got that sanction, John. The sanctions are written down.
Yeah,
I agree,
but what
right.
the last point that he says here, no, they've let him get up on the podium, spray the bubbly, slap him in the face by taking away the trophy and the points.
Well,
Who cares? It wasn't going to count for a gold medal anyway.
He
should have been fourth, though. I mean, but he shouldn't have been 12th. That was unlucky.
That was nonsense, wasn't it? He actually fell off the track while he was under safety car, is that right?
Yeah, tyres lost temperature, I believe.
Hmm. He's...
I've got a confession to make.
So that means...
But before we get out of this show, I have to point out, I've been had.
By?
By an April Fool.
Which one?
That one about the Kerr's complaint.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an April Fool.
It was made up by somebody. It was really well written.
Ah.
And completely unsurprising that the Formula 1 teams would actually complain about that sort of thing. The rest of the things I said about Kerr's are completely true, though.
And finally, here are the power rankings.
I thought it was a complaint by Robbie Kerr about Formula 1. Sorry.
He's too nice.
I'm not allowed to play.
Yeah.
James Broomhead with the Motorsport Power Rankings, 15th, Takuma Sato.
15th? We're doing 15 of these now.
I was at 5.
Oh, come on. It's only 7. A letter. Do them quickly.
15th, Takuma Sato. Taku is looking to put together a deal to run some IndyCar races. Flagman, take extra training to improve upper body strength ahead of increased workload. 14th, Sebastian Vettel. Wherever he is, he's still apologising. In 13th, Casey Stoner. I give you most inappropriate prize in motorsport. He topped the special qualifying test in Jerez on his Ducati motorbike, and he gets the prize of a BMW car. In 12th position, Bruno's got a Le Mans Series drive with Orica after being snubbed by Braun GP. How do I say consolation prize in Portuguese? 11, Ryan Hunter Ray, steady decks. Tony George sees sense. Ryan gets his ride. Izod marketing department not fired. In 10th, Jarno Trulli. Trulli's audacious attempt to set a record for the number of penalties in a season gets off to a flying start, and there's still a diffuser appeal to come. In 9, Craig Lowndes won 2 of the V8 races supporting the Grand Prix at Melbourne, matching his teammates' domination in Adelaide. One problem, no points for Melbourne. In 9th, Will Power headed the last day of testing before St. Pete's. Elio, do not call this man as a character witness. In 7th position, Lewis Hamilton, wandering around the paddock during the podium ceremony, hears the national anthem and says, "Why are they playing my song? I didn't win." At 7, Tony Stewart, even from the TV cameras, I swear you saw Tony's eyes light up as Hamlin and Johnson slid towards the wall. In 5th, Clint Bowyer, 5th at Martinsville, 2nd overall. It might be time to take notice of Clint Bowyer in the race for the chase for the Cup for the Thing. In 4th...
Don't be ridiculous.
In 4th, Denny Hamlin, Marcus Ambrose last week, Jimmy Johnson this week. Target apparently considered switching sponsorship to the 11 car. In 3rd, Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy denies bashing beardy look on Jensen Button. Basing beardy look on Jensen Button, excuse me. In 2...
Nice.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. In 2, Rubens Barrichello. Brackley build bulletproof car. Barrichello bounces Braun off everything en route to second. Nice bit of alliteration. And Jensen Button, the whole world waits for the latest big news from the F1 circus. Jason Sepang, beard or no beard? Yeah, we did have Barrichello, Button, Braun and Branson. So Formula 1 at the weekend was brought to you by the letter B. And that's the team that the BBC had on duty as well, which was nice. That's your letters
going
for this.
A different way.
Just not professional. It's excellent. Or talented. That's your letters for this week.
Late breaking news.
Right. Go on, studio@radiolemon.com. Late breaking news.
The Cooper Tires British Formula 3 International Series has cancelled its race in Bucharest.
No! To be replaced by what?
Well,
to be replaced by a race in Portimão, Portugal.
That other great bastion of British motorsport.
Which will take place on the 12th and 13th of September.
That's going to be wet.
And support the FIA GT3 Championship.
The sport races include the local Formula Chevrolet Championship and the Nolan sisters.
Apparently also be the first run out of Renault Formula Plus, sponsored by Termite Bar.
Termito.
The Midweek Motorsport.
Do you think we could get some entries for this championship we've just made up?
We should get
Devin Rattel's on the phone already. He wants to be the local organiser.
I think you know, basically Andy Blackmore, you must design the car, design the livery, and get the entry forms,
and design the energy bar that
exactly,
will be sponsoring.
Stick it all out.
Facebook guys, Nick, what have you got?
Facebook's, well, hey, we are up to 777 members.
Ooh.
So we
one
are.
Of them is the...
Some of them are in bikinis, which I quite like.
Yeah, it's bloke, though.
One of them is the improbably named Paul Menard, who wants to go to Le Mans.
Yeah, so obviously...
This isn't the Paul Menard,
no,
is it, Dex?
He just wants to go around the track without hitting people. What I'd like to point out...
Can I mention, Paul Menard is one of the latest people to join the IndyCar Fantasy League, and I've please check your inbox, because every single one of you, every single member of the Facebook listeners collective, have been emailed with regards to the IndyCar Fantasy League, and the replies aren't coming
supplied
in as fast as they should be, so please get them in.
No. What else is happening in IndyCar Fantasy League world, Declan?
Oh, we've got celebrity
what's the closing
members already
as well. When are we closing entries for that?
Closing entries are midnight Eastern time here, so that'll be 5 a.m. UK time
on Friday.
On Friday, yes. Yeah. So it'll be Saturday morning UK time, 5 a.m. to get your team in. And we've done we've changed it this year. You get one free Indy Lights driver at every race, and you pick 7 drivers. 4 of which are active and can only 7 drivers, total of 150 million, 4 of which your active drivers have to be no more than 100 million, and it will be not that easy just to pick Scott Dixon and win that way. It's not going to be that easy this year. I'm looking at you, Robert Duffield.
Can you do this without an A-level in maths?
It doesn't sound like
it, to be
honest.
And what I would suggest is the celebrities and drivers, which are obviously the presenters and can no longer are eligible to win, they're in a special competition. And the drivers this year include Connor Daly, Alex Rossi, Jonathan Summerton, people we've friends of the show, really, people we've had on recently, all going to take part.
Connor Daly's writing a column for SpeedTV.com, apparently.
He certainly is. With
any
my help.
With your help.
Yeah. He's we've had him on the show, a phenomenally lovely young man, remarkably so. I think he'll go a long way.
Next question.
Haven't you entered the world of PR in return for baked products, Tim?
They're not all baked.
Well...
You don't bake flapjacks.
Yeah, well, no, based on the work he's done, some of them are half-baked.
Yes, he's the world's first person who will work for cake.
It's a good way of
being paid. Unfortunately, I'm working for Scotch Mist at the moment, which is
not
isn't exactly
as we all are.
Hey. Yes.
However,
anyway, carry on.
We're sponsored
by Scotch Mist.
By SFA, and that's nothing to do with the Scottish Football Association.
Anything else worthy of
Scotch
talking?
Scotch Mist must be a brand of whiskey.
It is a brand of whiskey.
No, it never is.
Yes, it is a brand of whiskey, absolutely.
How funny. The fantasy, there's a midweek Motorsport Collectors Fantasy F1
thing
as well. Moena has set that up, and I've yet to go and check it. I was looking great until I fell asleep, and then everybody seemed to bump into each other.
One final thing on the Facebook Collective. As I said, we have now made 777 members, which is quite good. I think we now need to put down the avowed statement. We must hit 1,000. In Le Mans week.
Okay.
What tends to happen is that every time John mentions it, I actually literally see it, every time John mentions it in commentary in any of the live events,
you get 15.
We get a blip.
It generally tends to be the live events which aren't exclusive to Radio Le Mans, though. So it's where we're attracting new listeners.
Ah.
For example, at Sebring, I'm sure a lot of the new people who joined during Sebring were listening to WWTK 7:30 a.m.
or watching on Motors TV.
I was watching Motors with you 3 seconds ahead, you mentioned it, and we got 12 within 6 minutes.
By the way, hello to Martin Haven, who's still catching up on this show, so this is probably 3 weeks in advance, but he did send me a very good text when he was on his way back from Paris from doing one of the World Touring Car events recently. He was on the train, and he said he was almost ejected from the carriage that he was in because he kept laughing out loud for no apparent reason to the rest of the people around him, because he was listening to what we had to say. So if we have embarrassed anybody by listening to the podcast, we thoroughly apologise, but we'll continue to carry on in our usual vein.
There's a Facebook thread about that, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there might be, yes.
Oh, and one last thing with Facebook. Mike Fairholme asked me to say, the great Mike Fairholme asked me to say, Mike Fairholme says hello to Alan McNish. I know this is very local radio, but we are literally now playing requests.
This is not local radio, it's two-way family favourites.
Would Mike Fairholme like to swap Stretch Armstrong for Kaplunk?
Ah.
Well, you know, we need off Mike Fairholme. Mike Fairholme designs Mike Conway's helmets and many others, including Mansell, Senna, Brundle.
We can
DC.
Do mine.
He should be. Yeah, Mike, you've got to sort out Hindhoff's helmet. I can't believe I said that on air. But
Doctor couldn't do it.
Yep, push Eve out of the way, and you could sort out his helmet. And so I'm trying to persuade Mike to provide us with a helmet for a prize for the IndyCar Fantasy League. So it might happen.
And by the way, it was actually a Facebook comment, not on our website, but it was posted somewhere else. And I did point out that whilst all the TV and radio commentators on F1 seem to be more obsessed with helmets than the hat check girl at a policeman's convention, the easiest way to tell which car is which is by the colour of the T-bar that holds the television equipment on the top. The lowest number is red, the higher number is bright yellow. You don't have to see the there's a car gone off, I can't see who it is because I can't see the helmet. Oh, you pathetic gnome.
Oh, thank God we're not. Do you remember in years past when McLaren was sponsored by Marlborough and Alfa Romeo was sponsored by Marlborough, and Murray would literally go through. Murray would go through four drivers before he got the right one, sometimes five.
But that was it, that was, you know, that's fine. There's only two drivers. There's only one driver per car, and each of the cars are different from each other in a very simple and obvious way. It can't be only me who have noticed that those T-bars are coloured in different ways. Exactly, so you can identify them, because you can't see the numbers. Absolutely, you can't see the
numbers. John, the problem is that anyone would think you were some sort of professional commentator.
No, mate, not me.
You don't want to get involved.
If I was professional, I'd be making a living out of it, and that isn't the case.
Let's move on
very quickly.
Are you going to interject before we move on, or
no? Very quickly.
Okay, move on.
All the news from across the pond. If it happens over there, hear about it here.
Midweek Motorsport.
Stunning race at the weekend, Declan, on the paperclip at Martinsville.
Stunning in what respect?
He pushed him out the way.
Not perhaps door-to-door, wheel-banging, trading paint. However, a very interesting tactical race. And one thing I'll say, Chad Knaus, step forward and take a bow. He was outstanding. If ever there's a perfect example, Dex, of motorsport being a team sport and people playing the long game, it was Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. Two or three additional pit stops when the leading cars didn't come in, dropped down to 27th or 30th. It was like properly watching an endurance race. The guys worked well together, and I thought it was tremendously interesting to watch.
Yeah, in all honesty, though, and this is no, this is in fact, this is not damning them with faint praise, or this is not belittling them at all. But one has to remember that you are dealing with the best driver and best crew chief and best car in the sport. So you know, maybe dipping in a few times into the pits and forsaking track position when you are in that position is less of a gamble than if you're Jeremy Mayfield, yeah, for example, or Curtis Mayfield.
Well, let's have a quick listen to what the man himself thought. Here's Jimmy Johnson.
I just patiently worked away at him and got in an area where I could try to outbreak him and get position into turn three. And I got in there alongside of him, and he kept coming down to go to the inside line, and we made some contact, and both of us, I think I went up over the curb, and we're both sideways, and fortunately nobody tore anything up, but you know, just a close moment, and I think it is really just tough, you know, good hard short track racing. I think Denny was trying real hard to protect his lead and winning in his home state, and I wanted to get to the front really bad because I want to win one, and two, I want to win for Mr. Hendrick here on the 25th anniversary of Hendrick Motorsports winning.
Quality piece of symmetry there. The silver anniversary of Hendrick Motorsport winning their first cup race at Martinsville that
John,
weekend.
I have to stop you there, John. I have to stop you because I've just stuck outbreak into my my anagram generator. And yes, it actually does come up as bump him unceremoniously out of the way. So
he's the king at Martinsville, though. He's won five out of the last six there?
To quote James Allen, he literally owns the place. I have to say, though, that it was almost a case of he almost let the door open, because when he did hit Hamlin, it moved them both considerably up the track, and they both lost considerable momentum. Hamlin obviously losing more momentum than Johnson, but they almost both lost enough momentum to let Tony Stewart nip in and win.
Who had a great race.
Yes, he did.
As well.
Although he must be worried that his time is coming to a close there in terms of ownership of that team, seeing as GM are putting so much money into it. Funny enough, money they don't have. And they may well be in bankruptcy by next week. So,
interestingly I just realised that GM or somebody, one of the letters this week, told me that GM is no longer the official car of the New York Yankees. They've been replaced by Audi.
But that sort of fits in with how Audi work, isn't it? Because they do the same thing with Manchester United in the UK.
You mean alienating just as many people as, in fact, more people than they have actually, because everybody hates them.
Well, the funny thing is, VW, their sister company, are the official car of the Boston Red Sox. So,
oh, really?
Which is rather unusual. Yeah.
Oh,
although, on saying that, it doesn't really make much sense because the Boston Red Sox own 50% of the largest Ford team in NASCAR. So it's all very peculiar.
Why on earth does a baseball team need an official car?
Because it's a sponsorship. It's a marketing ploy, isn't it? Right, let's get... We've gone off topic. Let's get back to the oval racing, the ear on the oval with Declan. What else came out of the weekend at Martinsville? Another event with... no qualifying because of Dex. Why can NASCAR not just wait 10 minutes and see if it stops raining?
Yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is everybody who likes to hear positive stories and loveliness and puppy dogs and rainbows, switch off now, because it's utterly ridiculous. We might as well do a special of ranting on this. It's utterly futile. Just NASCAR, if you're listening, hello, Alan McNish, just stop. Wait a few minutes or take away one of your pointless practice sessions the next day and run qualifying. Mm. It's just stupid. Because it's not like they're not televised. The qualifying, the practice the next day is televised. They're not losing any TV time. They're making a farce of themselves. And let me conclude by saying the place wasn't full. Another 16 to 18% drop in ratings. Not good time to be the head of NASCAR.
And the next race is at Texas this weekend.
I have to admit, I enjoyed that race more than the others. I had lots of ironing to do. It was quite long.
Texas Motor Speedway. I'm flying in and out of Dallas-Fort Worth. It's fast, it's furious, but don't believe me. Let's hear Brian Vickers.
Texas is unique in its own right. I love going there. I think it's a great racetrack, great facility. It's fast, and over time it's gotten older and has lost some grip, and it has evolved into a track with a lot more character and more bumps and different things, which I think is a good thing. I don't have a problem with that. I like that. But Texas has always been a very fun, fast racetrack.
I'd like to pick up.
You like to what?
I'd like to pick out a couple of points.
It's unique. It's unique in its own right, and it's getting older.
By, it's got older.
It's time. Yeah.
There's something also that I have to say about this. How come when Texas gets older and gets bumpy, they love it? When Pocono gets older and bumpy, they hate it.
That's because the Beach Boys sang about Pocono and they didn't sing about Texas.
No, they sang about Kokomo.
I know.
But right, yes, there we go.
Over time, it gets older.
That's classic.
That's possibly the best line I've ever heard. He obviously had nothing at all to say about Texas Motor Speedway when he was asked, and just came up with that.
That is our going out music. That seems to be a bit early, Tim.
Well, it's not really the end of the show. It's more like the halfway point.
Still to come. Then we'll be looking at the IndyCar series. Jeremy Shaw is revved up for it. We've got a couple of drivers to talk to as well, so stay tuned to us here for a midweek motorsport IndyCar preview special coming next. For the moment at least, thanks to Tim, to Dex and to Nick, I'm John Hindorf. We'll be back with more of the normal sort of midweek motorsport next week from 8 here in the UK. And don't forget, catch up on everything, including our special programmes on the archive. Usual spot for midweek motorsport, other programmes for the previews. And tomorrow night at 8, it's the Le Mans series preview. This weekend, live coverage from St. Pete's of round 2 of the American Le Mans series, including in sound and vision for qualifying on Friday via speedtv.com and radiolemon.com. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemon.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.